We're fucking descending into the heart of darkness here tonight on the Snake Pit. Oh, MetalGearsLegacy.com. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm just thinking about the time I was drugged by the CIA. I don't know if I ever told you that story.
No, let me hear it.
It was the 1960s, all right? And I was cruising the streets in New York.
Cruising for head. I've been there.
Yeah, you know, you say it. You pretty much say it, right? And, you know, this hooker, she says it's buy one, get one for free. So I was like, all right. And she takes me to this fucking motel. She gives me this drink. And I want some. I'm starting to, like, just say all these state secrets to her. I'm just like, wow. Really nailing off all these things. It's a, yeah, but then
of belly's course, rumbling, huh?
Belly rumbling. They kick the window open and they arrest me.
For spilling state secrets.
Yeah, for spilling state secrets.
Who can blame you?
Yeah, that's why I'm doing this podcast now. I used to be somebody very important in the U.S. government.
And now you're here. That's the high bar this program setting right now. You used to be someone very important and now I'm here.
That's the results of MG Ultra, man.
It absolutely is. We're both indoctrinated. We're both victims.
What's the saying? Tune in, drop out. How's it go?
Tune in and drop out, yeah. Tune in and drop out. Remember when the CIA dosed people to control their minds?
It seems like they never really stopped doing that, did they? If it's not drugs, it's through subtle messaging.
They realize things like trauma-based mind control are too barbaric.
Yeah, and it's ineffective too.
There are some organizations and groups, some limited hangouts that probably still engage in that kind of mind control. Trauma-based mind control is where you coerce the victim with violence, sexual assault, this kind of thing. I think that they've moved from using psychedelics, which they deeply experimented with, to the point where many people died as a result of being laced with this stuff, and they've moved on to and realized that the better way to do it is through mass media manipulation, social media manipulation.
I do think you're onto something there. I think you're right. Like, they tried the drugs, but they were a little too barbaric,
too unpredictable.
Yeah, too unpredictable, just too much of a wild
LSD.
card. Yeah, especially the proven fact that our boy Marilyn Is am I saying the right name? Not Marilyn Manson. It's Charles Manson. I always say Marilyn Manson.
No, our boy Marilyn Manson. Yeah, Chuck Mann. Good old Chuck Manson.
Yeah, good old Chuck Mann. I can't say nothing wrong about him. But Charles Manson was an MG Ultra victim. Wasn't there someone else recently that they
MK Ultra victim, yes.
Who was there was one more person recently that they said was a victim of this, a pretty high profile MK Ultra victim.
Whitey Bulger.
Was it really? I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, the famous Boston gangster. The time that he was in prison was one of the prisons that they did trials at or had some involvement. The CIA had some program, and that was the same case for, as I understand it, Charles Manson as well.
The CIA was just doing, like, good work, right? They were helping people. They weren't no nefarious shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they took Dr. Hoffman's Wonder Compound and used it to kill and coerce a lot of people.
Well, that's unsurprising to be some.
Yeah, it is utterly unsurprising. It's heavy shit.
It's heavy shit. But I think that leads us to the theme of tonight, which could be, I guess, in some regards, conspiracy theories, maybe some to even
a little
do
bit.
With, like, would you say paranormal? Would you adjust that?
Supernatural. I would say supernatural.
Yeah, that's a better word. We're going to be going down a little rabbit hole in the vein of, like, a coast-to-coast episode tonight or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a little bit. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
My wife says I'm haunted.
All right, I'm going to have to shut you down.
West of the Rockies,
you're on the air. That's how he did it, man. I thought it was fucking nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, MG Ultra, man. You think there's a lot of tampering in Metal Gear by the U.S. military?
So continuing with the overarching supernatural theme that Kojima has throughout Metal Gear, the proof that there is supernatural phenomenon in Metal Gear Solid that isn't explainable through nanomachines is probably Psycho Mantis.
He just seems like an actual, like, test subject from CIA and stuff like that, too. I think you were mentioning to me there, he does have quite a bit of government work, right?
Not our government. He's trained by the KGB. Now, the crazy thing with Mantis is he's innately talented at this. He gets taken by the KGB and trained in, like, their paranormal espionage division or whatever. After the fall of the Soviet Union, he goes on to work for the FBI. This is part of his backstory where he picks up his psychotic tendencies from doing this work for the government. So yeah, I guess he's been abused by the Soviet and the American government.
Right. He is a tool, I guess, in some words.
Yeah, he is a tool. When MGS1 came out, again, there's no nanomachines, there's no SOP, there's none of these retcons. Mantis is a tried and true psychic. He's a supernatural creature. I mean, he exhibits telekinesis, telepathy, clairvoyance. You know, he's reading right. your fucking memory cards, yeah. right? He's reading your mind,
I felt
right?
violated.
Your memories.
And he's telling me to put the controller on. Like, yeah, you know where you want me to put up a controller, fucking Psycho Mantis, to make it rumble.
Yeah, fuck off, Mantis. Him and his fucking leather onesie. Let us know. Let us know at MetalGearLegacy.com if you were sexually aroused by Psycho Mantis. Psycho Mantis is a product of the Soviet government,
yeah.
the KGB.
But it has to also be said, FBI. He's probably got some natural, he probably had some latent abilities already as a youth, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he did. I forget if it's in MGS5 that this is talked about. I actually can't remember where they talk about this, but he reads his father's mind and figures out that he like resents him and he kills his father, right? Psycho Mantis literally possesses Meryl.
Yeah, right in front of you.
He's making Meryl spill her guts to Snake, professing all her desires, right?
Can we also talk about, like, for a second, the sort of, like, psychological with the music? To the music switches, and in the game, Snake acknowledges that he hears music being played. And we've known that the
yeah.
CIA has used music as, like, psychological weapon yeah. for Noriega and stuff, right?
That's true. Music's can potentially be a very powerful
right.
weapon. Sound can be a powerful weapon.
Oh, yeah. And then just emotion-wise, because think about you when you hear your favorite song on the radio and you're driving, you know, your yeah. favorite fast song.
It's true. Certain songs elicit an emotional response. And if you can't feel that, you're probably a psychopath.
I'm not going to even debate you. Probably right. Probably completely right.
I mean, let's think about it. I mean, music and food are like two of the universal languages. Yeah. Everybody can feel it. Everybody can dig both of those things. You don't need to speak the same language to enjoy that stuff.
It's very true.
So if you can, I feel like if you're a person this is very judgmental. I'm passing a lot of judgment here, but I really don't give a fuck. If you can't enjoy this shit, this is the fundamentals of life, food, music. If you can't feel that stuff, there's something yeah. wrong with you.
There's a reason why that all of our, no matter what race you are, that we had war drums or something similar to war yeah. drums, you know, puts you into it. If it's not war drums, it's some sort of music to get you in the mood yeah. to do violence, you know?
So Naomi actually says during the battle with Psycho Mantis in MGS1, Psycho's playing his mind control music. She uses that,
oh, really?
That exact phrase. Yeah, when Meryl is, you know, possessed
yeah,
by him.
Yeah. That is true. You know, I have to replay. I'm going to make sure we play all three of these games before Delta. I know Delta is like a prequel anyways, but I feel like yeah. I just want to replay them. You know, I just want to replay the original.
I'm in the same mood. I've started MGS 1, 3, and 4. So
wow, you went all the way deep in.
Yeah. I'm pretty balls deep in the series right now. Feels good. I feel like I'm 13 again.
I know. It's weird that I find myself enjoying older games. Sometimes even playing like games that were developed in that era that I didn't play, I find myself enjoying playing.
Absolutely. It was just, you know, there was something about the subject matter of the games back right. then. Like, I couldn't get enough of it. The subversive subject matter. Or
yeah.
like we're talking about now with Kojima, and on top of it being this like wild, basically fucking anime. It has the drama of an anime sometimes. On top of it being that and an espionage game and a shooter, it's also got this thick layer of
yeah.
paranormal shit pasted over the top of it. It was just
yeah.
the perfect mixture of everything I wanted
yeah.
at the ages the games came out at.
You know, I've always wondered if it was Metal Gear that influenced me into liking these things, or if I came in already liking these things. I can't really like parse out which one's which for me, you know? It's interesting.
It's symbiotic at this point,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I think Metal Gear fans have a certain taste for things, I've noticed.
True.
Talking with the community and even back on older communities that we were a
yeah.
part of. Everybody's got pretty good taste in stuff.
For the most part,
it's nice. It feels like you're among your own people.
Yeah.
With the with the Metal Gear fan base, which is cool.
It's true.
Yeah, but talking about subversive games, MGS fucking 2.
That game in itself could be fucking sort of MK Ultra fucking experiment, because there's so much theories around that game to just being even stuff like a simulation on top of it too.
Yeah.
Like you can reach deep into the MGS 2 thing and wonder like what the hell we're actually doing.
Yeah. If you guys want to hear us lay that out and we'd love to talk about it, let us know, MetalGearLegacy.com. Yeah.
I would absolutely love to. So if you hear this and you want to hear this, because you won't do it without it. Because I will go so deep into this fucking
I mean, this is a two-part episode. That is going to be an extensive discussion on the subject of Metal Gear Solid 2.
Maybe like the Lord of the Rings Gold Edition uncut fucking discussion. That would be...
Hey, man, I'll do it. We'll do it. Yeah. We'll do it. We'll have the conversation. Let's talk about Vamp.
Right, just let's see the face value of Vamp. What can he possibly be? If we're assuming that the MGS4 nanomachines work, just say this is like pie in the sky. What is he then if he's not a fucking demon or vampire or something? What is he?
So once again, we're talking from before the nanomachine retcons. Mm-hmm. We're talking MGS2 Vamp. Let's get into the real That's
Vamp,
a great question. Mm-hmm. That's a great question. You know, his backstory stipulates that his family was killed in a terrorist attack. He had to drink their blood because he was trapped in the rubble.
Which
is fucking weird. But that's maybe it doesn't turn you into a vampire, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe it does. I mean, he is all the illusions point to Vamp is a fucking vampire.
Right.
If it stinks like a fucking vampire, it's a vampire. Some people have theorized maybe he's a djinn or some other supernatural creature. Maybe he's a demon of some sort.
I've heard the demon thing mentioned because of during the fight with him in the water purification room that he does glow. And that nanomachine is not going to make you glow. You know what I mean?
Nope. Nanomachines are not going to make you glow. You're right. He has this like demon like red haze to him when he moves around.
Yes, it's weird.
It really looks otherworldly.
Like, it's definitely not fucking made from this earth. You haven't seen anything like that really.
And he sizzles when he goes in the water, right? In that battle in MGS2. He sizzles when he goes into and comes out of the water, I think. It's been like a while since I played it, but how could you forget that scene?
You think he could possibly be a experiment? Like, I know we know what MGS4 said he is, right? And just say we're playing devil's advocate, we're not gonna guess that he is any of those things. Is that any experiment possible to make someone walk on water or sit on water? It has to be.
No.
He's got to be a supernatural creature. Yeah.
It's got to be exactly. It's got to be some otherworldly shit going on with Vamp. And I don't accept the nanomachine cop-out. I'm sorry. No. You can fucking argue with me all you want. I don't accept it. Metal Gear is more interesting with the paranormal elements instead of everything being explained away by technology. Vamp is absolutely a fucking vampire.
You know, I think for MGS4, Kojima sort of lost a thread at some point. And I think we've mentioned this. I've mentioned this to you at least before that Stephen King has a very famous line. You know, no one really wants to know the true reason why, because it's never as interested in knowing the real reason why something supernatural moves in a certain way, it acts a certain way. That sort of takes away from the mystique. And I think Kojima and MGS4 doing that kind of cheapens it a little bit. You know what I mean? Up until that point, the theories, I guess I should say, of what this thing was, never, ever, if it touched nanomachines of some way, it wasn't mentioned enough for me to stick in my mind before MGS4, you know?
Yeah, nanomachines throughout the series up until 4 really felt like a different storyline than what they turned them into. They were kind of like a tertiary thing happening in the background rather than the main drive for an explanation for a lot of the stranger things happening throughout the series. I couldn't have said it better myself. I agree with you 100%. I think Stephen King may have echoed that. I've heard John Carpenter, George Romero say similar things. I think it's a pretty widely accepted thought, at least as far as horror movies go. So here's one of the hang-ups that people use, I guess, against the narrative that Vamp is indeed a vampire, despite him drinking blood, glowing red, or walking on water fangs, drinking blood, all of this shit. Yeah, they refer to this codec call that Snake has with Raiden, where he says that Vamp's name isn't a reference to him being a vampire, but that he's bisexual. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I forgot about this. You're right. That That isn't a Kodak clone. I remember it too. But I mean, in that regard, if it's not because he's a vampire, then he has to be some sort of demon then, right? What else could it be?
It just doesn't. I mean, if he's a vampire. They can explain it away with nanomachines all they want. And there's even a line in MGS4. Naomi's like, admits that she did this to Vamp, right? Mm. With nanomachines. And that she's also immortal, where she implies that she's immortal, right?
But so, you know, we had no real conversations or mentions of Naomi in MGS2. That's just retcon at its finest. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff is just, you know, obviously Kojima thought 4 was going to be the true end of it, and he just wanted to wrap stuff up. He didn't want fans to question. He didn't want us to make theories about what, I guess he wanted to be tied up completely for whatever reason. Hopefully he realizes that was a mistake to do.
Yeah, I think the community's probably given him, been pretty vocal about this and given him enough feedback that we weren't completely happy with MGS4.
Yeah. Even though it's amazing in its own regard, though, it's just, it could have been great. It could have been completely an amazing end to the series, you know?
It is what it is, unfortunately.
Yeah.
ISIS.
Yeah. But I guess from going from one spot to the other spot, I mean, Vamp, he is, if you want to say, a vampire. And in MGS3, there is a little scene that if someone mentions to you about vampires, that you do get supposed visitation while you sleep, right?
Vamp isn't the only allusion to vampires in the Metal Gear series. The Guy Savage nightmare, Snake's sexual nightmare while he's locked up by the Soviets.
If that's what Snake's dreaming about, man, that's some sort of violence, because he's thinking about ripping dudes open and seeing their entrails and shit fall in front of him and shit. Like, that's what he's fucking dreaming about. Yeah, you have this, I guess right after the Vulcan torture scene, where you probably see Snake being the worst beaten you've ever seen. Any main character in the series up until that point has been beaten. And
it's,
I guess,
brutal.
It's completely brutal. You should watch, you guys who haven't seen that scene in a while, go back and watch it. After that whole thing, the whole ordeal, I believe if you call paramedic to save, she will give you the conversation. She'll mention like vampire or Dracula. I think she mentioned Dracula.
Yeah, she talks about Bela Lugosi's Dracula and how Snake's like Renfield locked up. Yeah that's... Because, you know, she talks about movies to Snake throughout the game. There's a lot of film discussion in that game. That's kind of the game where I figured out, like, oh, shit, like, Kojima's, like, really in love with cinema. This pre-Instagram. It wasn't like he was posting pictures of the movies he's watching, right?
Imagine even back then, he's telling his fans what movies he thinks.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Worth mentioning. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But, yeah, she mentions to Snake about this supposed Dracula vampire. You know, Snake's the whole time, he's shushing her. Like, I guess he's actually scared. It's like this weird latent Snake fear, I guess, of vampires. Because Snake can't kill him either. You know what I mean? Until MGS4, obviously. Yeah, just this deep fear of vampires.
It's funny. It's just funny to see Snake, like, shaken by Dracula.
But it's also weird, too, that even though he was so shaken by Dracula, Solid Snake does kill a Dracula. You know, he does kill a vampire. Yeah. He does do it. He accomplish that. Yeah. He gives you he injects him, right, for the very least. He does give him the injection of mortality. Weird decisions by Kojima with these things. I guess they work. He didn't have to include that shit.
I don't know. I'm not happy with the official canon. I still enjoy MGS4, even. Even with all the issues that I have with it.
Right.
It's very fun to play.
Right. So you think in some ways, too, that just the mentioning of Dracula was sort of like a psychological sort of thing that made Snake see Dracula a vampire? Do you think it could have, like, gave way to this idea that Snake he's receptive to suggestion, you know what I mean? For the mission and
absolutely.
Shit like that, too.
I mean, she says it, like, right before he has the nightmare.
No matter what's the direction that Major Zero or Major Tom gives you, you are following his directions directly. I think Snake is
right.
He could be somewhat a victim of early testing with some sort of MK Ultra 2 if you're really going out there. Could be a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that, especially in that era, Virtuous Mission and Operation Snake Eater in 1964.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
1964. So that was like prime time for MK Ultra experiments.
Right. It's not exactly a true experiment because he was exposed to the nuclear blast, just like the Bikini Atoll people that was on victims of experiments too before him, you know, so it's like a long legacy.
That's an interesting point. He is exposed to radiation from the Davy Crockett, also in MGS4. MGS4 is really the game with all of the, I guess, UFO related content, which there isn't much, yeah. But there's some.
You can see Kojima is going a little deep. He's more into, being more open about his interest, you know, in the UFO phenomena.
There is a mention of UFOs that is actually referenced in MGS4 from MGS2. And it's something the AI colonel says. He tells Raiden about an abduction situation that he was involved in. He says he's like driving late at night and he sees a glowing orange object in the sky. Suddenly there is an intense light all around him, and then he wakes up in his bed. So he's basically telling Raiden that he's been abducted. And there's a section of the South American campaign in Metal Gear Solid 4 when you're tracking Naomi. You actually come across a crop circle, like a tried and true crop circle in the game. And when you get there, it plays a, I guess, like an aural hallucination of AI colonel telling his abduction story, which is pretty good. I completely forgot about it until this most recent replay that I did. I went through the part just like crouched down in the grass and didn't realize it was a crop circle. And then it started to play and it legitimately scared the shit out of me. I was like, what the fuck? And then I spun the camera around and realized that I was in the crop circle. And I was like, oh shit. Yeah, it was good.
It's cool. It's like you got your own little fucking radiation story from the fucking crop circle.
Yeah.
But you know, I think it's really interesting too. I know it's probably more leaning towards a reference than anything else, but that would mean that Solid Snake was patched into fucking Raiden's line to hear that conversation with Colonel Campbell. If we're going to believe it's within the lore of the universe, right? For Solid Snake to think about that line when he encountered a circle, it's if you had to believe it's in world.
That's a very interesting observation. I mean, it makes total sense that Otacon and Snake would be eavesdropping on everything Raiden was talking to the colonel about, right?
It's true. I'd expect Otacon to figure some kind of way out to do something like that. I think he mentions that Raiden isn't talking to Rose and Campbell too, so maybe he was patched in the whole time listening, monitoring the conversation.
It's a high possibility. In fact, I'd be angry if they weren't eavesdropping on Raiden the entire time.
Yeah. But you know, this kind of goes with the whole theme of MGS4, because we have the alien abduction story that's relayed to us, the tiny bit of it. And then we have the crop circle. But also, Kojima include another reference to... Would you say it's a UFO photo? How would you describe this kind of photo?
It's a photo of an extraterrestrial.
Yes.
Supposedly.
Yeah. The guys in suits, right? Holding it up.
Yeah.
It's in the similar fashion.
The crop circle isn't the only reference to UFOs in Metal Gear Solid 4. So that photo, after you have the Striker chase, the big armored personnel carrier chase in South America, Naomi and Snake walk out of the wreckage with Little Gray, right? Drebin's monkey, holding his hands. And then you hold down the action prompt in this scene where Snake, the monkey, and Naomi walk out, and Drebin laughs, and you can hit the action prompt and it flashes a photo, which is very well known in, I guess, like the conspiracy and UFO community, of two men in trench coats holding what appears to be a small extraterrestrial by its hands. And there's like a babushka lady in the background and like a dead tree. It's just a weird fucking picture, but it's obviously an old photo. I actually did a deep dive on this because I wanted to know where it came from. And I found an ancient above top secret thread that had a lot of photos in it, but there was great discussion on this particular photo. Nobody can really agree where it came from. It's pretty widely recognized that it's a hoax photo. It's not actually a picture of an extraterrestrial. Some theories speculate that it's a monkey, a shaved monkey, which goes hand in hand with MGS4 perfectly. Maybe that's why Drebin's laughing at, you know, this scene. Like, he saw this picture and he was like, oh, this is a fucking shaved monkey, obviously. Some people say, you know, obviously, oh, there's a real alien photo. Likely not. These guys in the photograph, they look like KGB agents or, you know, G-men or, you know, SS officers or something like that undercover.
Really nicely dressed, like expensive suit kind of guys, I suppose, right?
I reckon that the original photograph, before somebody doctored it to add this shaved monkey or whatever it is, maybe it's a doll, who knows? They were probably holding hands with like a child or something. And then when they actually developed the picture, they exposed a monkey over over where the baby would be and burn out where the baby was. So,
okay.
I mean, it was possible. Yeah. It seems like that image originated sometime in the 50s, and there was a long history of photo fakery, as we established in the first episode. Again, go listen, MetalGearLegacy.com. There's been people doctoring ghost photos and hoaxing pictures for a very long time, pretty much since the beginning of photography. Unfortunately, the photograph that you see in MGS4 when Drebin laughs at Snake and Naomi is based on a forgery.
Oh, shit. That sucks, man. But it's still an interesting footage. That's probably why he laughed, too. You know?
It is interesting.
Yeah. But I do find it funny. Isn't the monkey's name Little Gray on top of it?
Yeah, the monkey's name's Little Gray on top of it. Yeah, so you got your crop circle, you got your conspiracy photo with a long history behind it, and you've got your Little Gray, which is the shaved monkey from the from the photo.
It's interesting, because you even put quite a bit of... You know, he does have the parallels, like the paranormal stuff, I should say. And then he has, like, this other, like you said before, what you call it?
Supernatural.
Supernatural. It's sort of like, you don't know what it is. It could be anything. And he just decided to include it there. It's just his interest, you know?
I hope that we've established that the supernatural or otherwise unknown is a prevalent theme throughout the Metal Gear series, and having the explanation that a lot of it is because of nanomachines just takes a little bit of the magic out of it for us.
Yeah, it cheapens the whole date.
Yeah, just a little tiny bit. However, we just spent over an hour discussing this, so obviously there's enough to talk about here. If we missed anything, let us know. MetalGearLegacy.com. If there's some other weird shit that you want us to talk about from the Metal Gear series, let us know.
We would love any ideas of what to discuss. We love talking about Metal Gear, and we don't mind talking about Metal Gear. So thanks for...
We'll do this for hours.
Oh, yeah. So thanks for joining us once more by the fireplace to get touched by me and my friend.
Put that away, Paul.
Oh, no, I thought we reached the end. All right. But yeah, thanks for listening.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Good night.
Good night.